Welcome to GamerCast, episode 157. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is episode for the 24th of May, 2009. Chris isn't here this week because he got tired after doing his first podcast.
Yeah, he's done a wow podcast with Paul.
That'll be up on our website when I get around to it.
Yeah. Which I thought was good, because we talked about like previous episode about maybe doing a WoW edition, or a WoW segment, I must admit, which is quite cool. I must admit, if people don't like having it as a separate one, we could always do like what some podcasts do, where they give up part of their time fragment for people to put their own sections on the back. So I suppose you and Chris could, or Chris himself, or all three of us could do a WoW bit, record it another time, but have it really, really short, just the news and stuff, and we could slam bang it on the end of the show, and when we say bye at the end of GamerCast, people know, continue on listening for the WoW segment, but if they're kind of like,
dude,
oh my god, no more WoW.
Dude, that's illegal bundling, you can't do that. It won't show up on the regular GamerCast feed, it will have its own separate feed.
Oh, we're going to go for a separate feed.
The website would be gamercast.net/WoW edition.
Ah, posh.
Yes. Posh. The feed URL will be feeds2.feedburner.com/gamercast/wow. Shall I just have WoW, or shall I make it WoW Edition? Yeah.
Speaking of feeders,
Let's change it to... it'll be Gamercast WoW Edition.
Yeah.
Until we can come up with a name which doesn't suck.
I've downloaded a app from my phone. I got myself a nice feeder that looks all an RSS feeder, and I've got some nice RSS, and so I've got to go in and start adding in some from the places where I look for information regularly, for news articles and what's happening in the world of video gaming, so I can check on my iPhone beforehand, and also from a comics and stuff I read. And I found a really nice one that is an RSS podcast feeder, which is quite good.
So like I've got on my phone.
Yeah. So, because I've got iTunes and my iPod on my iPhone, but the only disadvantage I've ever found with the iTunes software, since they've updated it to include podcasts, is when you go through the listings of podcasts, which you do searches for, you can download whichever episode you want, you key them all in, and it starts putting them into a queue and downloads them. You can pause them, rechange the order, yada, 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 and then they download them into the iPod. When you go to the iPod, you do have a link to go back to iTunes. It basically opens up Safari for a few seconds, and Safari closes, then it opens up iTunes, and it, boom, you're there. But it's like, right, so I'm going to look at this. I regularly listen to a podcast which is Spider-Man Crawl Space, about Spider-Man and Spider-Man comics. And I've got to remember...
Here's me listening to all these political and science podcasts, and there's Adam talking about Spider-Man.
But I've got to memorize what date... or what episode number it was, and go back to see if there's a new one. And that's the only thing that's annoying, is being able to work out...
That's a lot of manual work.
Yeah, so I've only listened to a few, and I'm looking at expanding my podcast list for when I'm at work and listening to them when I'm doing work. And I'm like, oh my god, that's too many. So I thought, right, let's have a look for an RSS feed. And I found a RSS podcast one, and it's a player as well. And you literally... You push a button when you want to, not when you don't want it to. So whenever I'm in Wi-Fi, I'll go, oh, I'm getting up in the morning. Or when I go to bed, I'm going to go, vroom, and it's just going to go through every single one of the podcasts I listen to and download the latest version. Ready, and it'll all be downloaded, and then I'll probably hit it one more time before I get in the shower, just to make sure I've got everything ready for work.
Of course, if you've got an HTC phone, you've got that functionality built in, and it does it automatically. And you can distinguish how it does it automatically. So, for example, I don't want it to pull it out over the air, because that will obviously munch up a lot of bandwidth. But when it's connected to my computer, then it automatically will download.
Yeah. But they said this is good for people who... because the functionality, unfortunately, with it being Apple, is not there, because they're expecting you to get the odd podcasts from iTunes. They're expecting you to... download them through the automatic feature which is built into iTunes on your Mac or PC and get it that way, which is what my mate Mike does. Now, he's gone and changed it himself because he's got a BlackBerry, and he's finally got himself onto the BlackBerry shop and found this app, and he's got a trial version, and it's similar to this, where it does it all for you, sort of thing. And I was reading the thing on this one I'm looking at again, which is free, which is quite cool, and it said, for the people who don't want to keep hooking their iPhone up to their Mac just to get their podcast. And I was thinking, actually, yeah, I'm doing it the long way around. If I wanted to do it automatically, I'd have to keep getting out my MacBook, hooking it up, and I'm like, no way am I going to get my MacBook out every single morning just to get my podcast. I'd much rather do it the long way. So that's on my next list to download once I finish the podcast.
Since we're talking about phones, have you noticed an improved signal quality with O2 lately?
I wouldn't say I have. Have they been boosting the signal
right? Dude, we've got HSDPA in the centre of town.
Really?
Yeah, I've got 4 bars of HSDPA right now.
Nice.
Actually, I tell a lie, it's 3 bars at the moment. But if I move that microphone, it'll go back to 4 bars. Of course, the iPhone doesn't support HSDPA.
Nope.
It only supports regular 3G, but you should still have the faster speed. Edge is slow as hell.
Yeah. I only get Edge, I don't get 3G.
You should have 3G now, mate.
I can't get 3G.
Turn it on.
It's not a 3G phone. It's no 3G.
Oh, you've
filter.
Got the old model.
I got the old model.
That's why you haven't noticed the speed increase then.
Yes. Sarah's got the newer model. I imagine she'll notice the upgrade. I can't be bothered to upgrade to the 3G because...
It's only 3G.
Yeah. There's not enough on the new iPhone to make me want to have it. So I'm keeping on mine, trying to get the most out of it. And hopefully by the time I'm ready to change, there may be a new model iPhone that's actually got a bit better upgrade.
Yeah, maybe a higher res screen. The screen's really bad on it.
So we'll see what Apple brings out next on it. But yes, on with the show.
But then actually, talking about that, everyone with an iPhone I know, even if they got the 3G model, they always have 3G turned off.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want to save the battery life. What, you can't have 3G on without the battery dying? Don't be silly.
Some people like the idea of a phone lasting forever. Now, my phone, I can make my phone last for ages. I've made my phone last turned on permanently for 2 weeks, and that's because I had the Wi-Fi turned off, and I also had the phone part turned off, and I was using it as an iPod, and I just listened to a few tracks when I was waiting to get ready for Sarah to get ready in the morning when we were in Canada, because I didn't have any of the features turned on, because...
It wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah, because I don't want to get charged if someone accidentally rang me. So... You know, the batteries can last a long time, but, you know, you got the Wi-Fi on just in case you bump into a signal. I always have the Bluetooth turned off because I don't have anything Bluetooth attached to my phone. But, you know, I'm using the internet, I'm using different features. They will wear down. That's why in my motorbike rucksack...
I've got a big battery!
No, I've got my USB cable and the plug, so whenever I'm at work, I'll normally wear my phone down, so I'll always bung it back on charge.
I have a cradle.
You have a cradle.
I always have a cradle. Every phone I've had a different cradle.
I've got a cradle for mine, but I don't use it anymore because...
You've got a laptop.
No, my iPhone has got in the rubber casing. Now, I do have my old school chunky dock from my old iPod, which got nicked. And that just about fits it in there, but I got fed up with jamming it in there. So really, all I use my dock for is to stop the iPhone... cable that I use to charge it next to my laptop from disappearing down the back of the table. So it's basically there to keep the cable put, and then I unplug it and just shove it into the back of the iPhone and put the iPhone on the desk.
Very clever. A bit blue tech would do the same job.
Yeah.
Let's move on to our letters, shall we?
Yep.
We have one from Oxlow.
Oxlow.
He says, "Hi guys, just to let you know, I am still listening to your show." Ah.
That's good to know that people are listening.
We won't read the rest of it because the rest of it goes downhill. Now, last week you were talking about best game intro of all time. How come nobody mentioned the original Half-Life? It is the best in my book.
Someone who does listen to the show, who I work with, actually mentioned that. They said...
It's not the same person, is it?
No, it was Gary who mentioned it, right. And said...
Ochimaru, yeah.
Yeah, why?
I didn't mention a Half-Life because I'm sure I said pre-rendered cutscene.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Half-Life introduction was fantastic.
Yeah, I did.
But I was talking
like
pre-rendered video, you know.
You caught me off cuff when you mentioned it to me because I was just like, "Oh my god, how many games have I played?" Like, trying to think of what the intro is. It's amazing that I had to say the intros that stuck out in my mind, and it was a good way of saying it to me because of the fact I was kind of like I couldn't think of any games, so I was. Thinking
I didn't
of
give
intro.
You a week to think about it, which was good, I think.
But
that's crap.
Yeah, it's always the question. I like being forced into a situation where you start thinking, what games have I played? What games have I owned? Because I must admit, I'd have a hell of a library of video games, because I don't own many games at the moment, because I've traded so many in, and I haven't bought many games of late, because of...
Look, it's Falcor's YouTube account.
Hey,
Falcor, how's it going? Look, he plays Socom a lot, apparently. Get a decent game.
So where are we going in the news?
Warner Brothers made a bid for Midway.
Yep, they're not making a bid for all of Midway. There is a list of particular parts that they're after, as well as franchises. They will be after the Mortal Kombat franchise is part of it.
Mortal Kombat.
Development studios in Chicago and Seattle would be included in the deal, but the deal does not include Midway Studios in San Diego and Newcastle, nor TNT franchise.
So basically, it would rip the best bits out of Midway and lead the rest to go under.
Yeah. So
they've bid $33 million, which isn't a lot of money, really.
The only thing I can think of is that they're trying to get rid of the bits that are worth the most while consolidating to work on games with a large amount of money behind them if things are not going the way they are. I must admit, okay, the Mortal Kombat franchise is worth a bit, and after the fact of releasing DC versus Mortal Kombat, but I don't say the franchise is a big hitter. It's not. It's not exactly stayed as good as it was when it first came out, because I think it was only the uniqueness of Mortal Kombat which raised it above, for some people, above Street Fighter. But even then, Street Fighter always stayed favourite with the hardcore fans, and which is proven today with Street Fighter 4's success. So yeah, it's amazing how many companies that are actually chopping and changing. One of my friends has got a job as a marketing person for a new military company that makes tanks or something like that, and she was saying, well, she's been hunting around for a job and stuff, she's hit a lot of hits with the fact that the gaming industry is a really good place to be working now, because there is a big change happening now with a lot of the little fish that can't survive with the climate as it is are being eaten up, and franchises are not being dropped, they're being passed back and forth, so franchises won't die. A lot of them are like this, are being bought out so that they can continue on, but the ownership of other people. So
I'll make Midway an offer. £2, £3.50, £3.71. There you go, take it or leave it.
Is that including or not including the Mortal Kombat?
That's the whole lot. I don't know why they sell to Warner Brothers. Mm. Why sell to Warner Brothers for $33 million when I'd buy it for £3.71 cash right now?
Well, Warner Brothers do own DC Comics, so...
Meh.
With the whole Mortal Kombat...
Let's move on to the next thing, shall we?
Yep.
This is something about swine flu.
Yeah, Square Enix...
That's so last month.
And such and such were needing the numbers at E3 to be dropped because of concerns with swine flu, because they were saying that... Where is E3 this year? Was it in Japan, or was it...
I
can't remember where E3 actually was. I just was looking at what they were actually talking about. But, yeah, the swine flu...
Well, it's not
flu,
in Japan, I can tell you that.
Swine flu was... pushed over in the
sense... LA Convention Center.
Yeah, the LA Convention Center. So they're always wanting less amount of people in one area because of the fact that it can be pushed out.
I think
out.
A Gurret pigeon just flew past the window. I think it's trying to get in to witness how awesome our show is.
Yeah. Pigeons like the awesomeness of Gamercast. But... What was it? June 2nd and 4th. So yeah, not happened yet. So
no, we'll do a bit on it next week.
Yeah, see what
happens. Obviously, it won't be until a week after we handle the news.
Yeah. I have found out that...
But there are rumours that Microsoft are going to be releasing some sort of fancy controller thing, and rumours of a slimline PS3, but it's all rumour at the moment, so we're not going to talk about it, really.
It's a lot of people are just hammering at the same rumours back out again, ready for E3 to see what's mentioned. Yep. Capcom also have announced that they're increasing their iPhone development. As well as release for a port of Mega Man 2.
Wow, Mega Man.
I can't think what the other games were. They were on the list on the site. Nope, they've gone from my mind. I cannot think what they were. Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader 2009? And also Resident Evil. Can't even pronounce that word.
Degeneration.
So, which is going to be quite good. I'm going to be very interested in picking up Resident Evil and Mega Man for the iPhone. Very cool top-end games. So,
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, yeah, for handheld sort of thing, you know. There are some really good games that are coming out.
Now, what we need is Warcraft. Oh, wait, I've already got Warcraft. No, what we need is Lemmings. Oh, wait, I've already got Lemmings.
I remember having Lemmings on my Windows phone. There's a meow, meow, meow. That was great. Good times. What's next on the show notes?
EU find Intel. I was going to talk about this last week, but I thought it wasn't really important enough to mention, because it's not really related to games.
I just threw it in there because I saw it and I thought it'd interest you.
Yeah, well, Intel fined Intel €1.06 billion for anti-competitive practices.
Against AMD.
Well, in general.
Yeah, they were saying it was during the process of trying to compete against AMD. So, yeah, it's the...
I mean, it's not exactly surprising. Everyone knew Intel were up to it, so... Mm.
But then at the end of the day, it's the heart of any gaming rig. Whether you go AMD, it's the whole thing. Do you go AMD? Do you go Intel? Do you go NVIDIA? Or do you go... what's the red label one I have in mind?
AMD.
Not AMD.
AMD acquired ATI.
Oh, yeah. It always confuses me. I keep forgetting they've ATI.
I know, they're the wrong colours. If they had the same colour, AMD is like green and ATI is red. And, you know.
If they got NVIDIA, it'd be fine because they're all green. a bit bizarre that, but...
It's three times what the EU fined Microsoft for, I think, what was that? The stupid media player bollocks.
Oh, yeah.
It's fucking ridiculous. Real player sucks. I know, we see them.
They don't like the fact that people won't go out and buy extra stuff if the computer already comes with it. And it's kind of like, well...
Who doesn't?
You want the operating system to do stuff out of the box. You don't want to have to start going...
Dude, I have to go down to the shop to buy LAN Manager for DOS. I'll be back in a bit so we can connect to the internet.
Yeah. You know...
Where's my LAN Manager disk?
You expect a set amount of stuff to come...
I expect a networking stack.
Stuff to come with it. You know, it's just what you expect.
No, I mean, it's just player and all that, having a whine in it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's face it. There's a reason why people didn't use Real Player.
Yeah.
Because it's shit. It's not because Windows came with Media Player. Because Windows has always came with Media Player.
They didn't like the fact that Windows Media Player has actually got better.
Yeah.
Before it was kind of like...
Before it was just a little program which didn't do it.
XP went with, right, we're going to give you a XP version of Messenger and an XP version of Media Player. But if you click on the link that comes with them, you can go get the really cool version we've got free on our website, but you don't have to have it. And then Vista came out and it was kind of like, yeah, we've just built the cool stuff in and it all works together with your folder structure and it all works. And that pisses a lot of them off because people all of a sudden go, wow, Media Player is really cool. What do I want to get Real Player for? Real Player is crap.
Real Player allows you to save videos from YouTube.
True. But there's many...
Real Player allows you to rip DVDs, and they're in court fighting over that as well.
Mm.
Because all the media film companies have sued them because of it. It's pathetic, really. So yeah, Real Player actually like tried to do some sort of things, but if you look at the player, it's just...
No, I...
With all these tiny little fiddly buttons.
Oh, God, I've had it so many times. Oh, excuse me. I've had it so many times and it just kind of like...
Well, back in the day, you know, it wasn't, you know, when you had Real Media files on the internet, you know, the old RAM files.
Yeah, and you download them and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have to install Real Player for this. And you know that it's a horrible thing.
That's the only reason people use Real Player back in like 2000.
Now, if you look at Real Player now... Most of the content you would surf on the internet, like for a trailer of a game or something that's just come out, something funny, and people are passing these files back and forwards, nobody bothers anymore. I've got something I need to show the world. Right, just upload it to YouTube.
Video is now all done with Flash.
Yeah, it's all on YouTube or any of the other ones that are provided. And, you know, the fact that you can connect it to your blog, you can connect it to a forum... There is no... that's the problem. They got panicked. All of a sudden, the world shifted on them on how video is used on the internet. And I think it's shifted for the better because it needs to have that ability.
Well, yeah, back before, you needed like QuickTime and you'd have a browser plugin or a Windows Media browser plugin. And it just wasn't as seamless as using Flash or even Silverlight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, role player, who cares? Team Fortress 2, however, I do care about. And if you're really quick, you can download it from Steam and play Team Fortress 2.
Which is now
epic.
Free at the moment, and then
it's free this weekend and probably tomorrow as well.
Okay.
It might only be in Europe, though. I don't know about America.
And is it a price drop?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's $6.99 if you want to buy it at the moment. I don't know if that'll go back up or what. Yeah, it's normally $13.99, but it's $6.99 at the moment. Yeah, Team Fortress is a brilliant game. I mean, I bought Episode 2 just for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And they've introduced some new features. They've got new maps and all that sort of stuff. So even if you have not played it for a year or two, it's got a lot of new stuff in it, if you want to check it out.
Cool.
Maybe you'll fight me later on as well. And I will kill you. My engineer will destroy you.
With his guns. Right. I want to talk about Infamous...
Versus Proto Man.
Prototype. Yeah, it's...
Proto Dude.
It's happening again. I was talking to my mate at work, Gary, and when he said something to me about
it... Do you actually do any work, or do you just talk to him?
Well, you have to have those breaks where you stop, because you were a data monkey, so we're probably hammering at the keyboard, and you need that moment to stop.
Yeah, of course, that moment, which is probably about 6 hours in a day.
Yeah. It's just hit me that it's getting a little bit like when we had Fable 2 and Fallout 3 coming out, two similar style games, very in-depth. And one is just for Xbox, and the other is on both. And I must admit, a lot of people, if they had both consoles, would go for Xbox for Fallout 3 because it was known to be not that great on the PlayStation 3. But it feels like the same thing's happening again here with two different companies bringing out similar style games. You've got Infamous, which is just for PlayStation 3, while Prototype is on PlayStation 3 and Xbox. They're both sandbox games of playing a character who has special abilities going around. Now, I know that from what I've heard about Prototype, it is you are playing as the bad guy going around with these special abilities of turning your body into rock, and you have tendrils that come out and you can steal people's identities, and it's all mission-based sandbox style game, where then you've got Infamous, which is a role reverse where you can be evil or good and changes the way that you look. You either go grayish and you have all these lines down you, and you have red lightning where when you're a goody, you're all clean cut, and you've got blue lightning that comes out. So it's very, very different style games, but very running on a similar basis. They're all coming out similar times, so it seems like a bit of a battle hunt for who's going to buy what. I imagine people who have got the cash will go out and buy both. Don't know which way to go with Prototype, whether it will be better on Xbox. I've not heard anything on comparison. No demo as yet for Prototype out on Xbox or PlayStation 3, although Infamous is out on Xbox. Not Xbox, sorry. PlayStation 3 demo on the PlayStation Network store. I've downloaded a copy and had a go. Very good demo. I definitely recommend this one, even if you just wanted to have a play. Very Spider-Man 2-ish. Run around buildings. The character you play as is a survivor from an incident that happens in the city. The city has been quarantined. There's these hoodlum gangs that are going around. They've got hoods up, and some of them do have special powers like yourself that's happened from this weird explosion that went on in the city that you're living in. It also, you have been gained the ability to have electricity running through your body, so you can shoot out electricity.
Sophie was talking about this game. Yeah, I wasn't listening there.
You can shoot out the... a pulse and electricity grenades that when they go off, if you're evil they more explode, if you're not they'll probably just send these electricity around people's ankles and wrists and pin them to the ground so the police can come and collect them. You can do different things. You can do different things when you go up to a person, for the fact that if you find a pedestrian that's been knocked in the middle of a battle, you can revive them using your powers, or you can suck the energy out of their body and kill them so that you can use their energy to recharge yourself, or you can bind them to the ground. So you have the choice of doing anything, and all your actions choose whether you balance between good or evil. Very similar to like the Star Wars games that have been out previously, where you choose whether you're a good person or a bad person, and the powers can correspond. Through the demo, you do unlock several different powers as you go through, to give a different feel of what the game is going to be like. The character himself does not use powers to really get around, although I think his movement is enhanced by his powers. He basically is doing free running, a little bit like in the James Bond movie, where you're running around, you're jumping upon stuff and
balancing. Running around like a loony.
It does have an ability to lock your character to items, so when you're running across like an edge of the building or on a rail or something, you don't have to try and balance the character on there. The character has a cute sense of balance, so he's just going to run on there, and you have to jump off. You can't just fall off, which means that it gives you a really good ability to jump from one item to the other, climb onto the side of stuff, climb up buildings. When you jump on anything that conducts electricity, you actually fire electricity through your body to propel you along. So on wires, telephone cabling, power wires, and also the railroad of the tram system that goes around, because there's electricity running through it to power, you actually start charging yourself up and you just skate along on the rails. I'm actually quite impressed with it, but because it is like when Fable 2 and Fallout 3 came out, similar style games, you're just kind of like, which one do I go for? I'm really hoping that a prototype demo comes out, be it on both consoles or just one, just to get a flavour between the two games. Prototype was announced beforehand, as far as I'm aware, so a lot of people got excited about this one, and then Infamous came out straight off the cuff. It is a Sony-only game, so if you're on just the Xbox, your decision's made for you, unless you're willing to go buy an Xbox PlayStation for this game. But if you're on Xbox only, then Prototype seems like the thing to go for. But if you are on both consoles or just PlayStation 3, then you're going to have to decide whether you're going to be spending a hard amount of cash or you're actually just going to buy one or the other.
I don't think I'll be buying either, to be honest.
No, not your style of game, I don't think. But, yeah, third-person action sandbox games. The demo themselves for Infamous is a very good quality demo. It opens up the entire environment to you to a limitation with three missions. The first one is a starting mission, and then it rolls over to a main quest and two examples of side quests thrown in there. Now, if you don't attempt to take on any of these quests, there is a time limit before it automatically picks one for you, and you're forced into doing that quest. So it basically gives you a flavour of what different parts of the game are going to be like as your character evolves. Storyline and artwork is very good. Graphics for the engine seem very good. If this is what it's going to finally come out and look like, I'm quite impressed. It's very stylistically done. They've gone for a very comic and painty look for the cutscenes and artwork to show how the story portrays as it moves along. Upgrade system for spending points on your powers. As you learn new powers, there are different ones where you can drop down and you do this energy punch and it knocks everybody out the way. You can leech energy out of people. It seems like there's more.
Dude, that doesn't sound very nice.
No, so if you start doing the leeching energy out, that's where you start turning to the evil.
You start turning evil and you go red. And
then you become Infamous. Or you become a hero and you're all blue. So it's kind of like a Jedi free runner with a Duracell battery up his ass. So yeah, I'm quite impressed with it. I don't know if I'm going to be going out and buying it straight away, considering I'm still playing Fallout at the moment. But yeah, for a demo, out of 5, I definitely give it a 4. Just for the fact that...
Which one?
Infamous, because I've not played Prototype. But for the Infamous demo, I definitely would...
So which one's out on what?
Infamous is out on PlayStation 3 only, and that's demo is out at the moment on the network.
Yep.
Prototype is being released dual format, so it is out on Xbox and PlayStation.
Is there a Wii version?
I don't think there's a Wii version of either of them, as far as I'm aware.
Damn Wii. Especially have you played EA Sports Active yet?
No, I've not.
Good.
But, Infamous, just for the fact of a demo, just to try it out, not in the sense of you're going to buy the game, but as a demo just to play. It's a very good, well-structured demo, and it doesn't push you along too quickly. It gives you a time to play with the content and actually get used to playing as this character. So yeah, I was quite impressed.
You got Pokemon yet?
Platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had it for ages. I had an American copy.
Yeah. Downloaded from America.
I haven't
so let's talk a bit about Fallout, since you've been playing that, and you promised us a review.
Yep, I've got quite a bit, not majorly far through, but enough to get a good taste of the game. All I can say is, as a fan of Elder Scrolls Morrowind and Oblivion, I had concerns and I had joys for this game of, are they going to be moving bits? Are they going to keep this style of type of gameplay? Oh my god, how are they going to get around doing this? I'm very impressed. Absolutely very impressed with this game. The customization aspects of it have been completely unique to Fallout as a series, with experience from Oblivion. You can see so much of what they've learned from Elder Scrolls in this game, and it's made this game, like, I don't think anybody could actually take this game on and do it justice compared to what this team did with
it. No, clearly Bethesda are kicking ass.
Yeah, and I must admit, it's refreshing to have the type of game that they've been making before in a completely different style and story and environment and what you're actually there to do. And I find myself still being able to do similar things that I was doing in Oblivion. Graphically, it's absolutely amazing. The storyline is a lot more compelling. I love the fact that it's an RPG with text but pre-recorded vocals. I'm loving the fact that you can actually completely obliterate quests. You can literally take 50 quests and do one action and they're gone. That's it. They're gone for good because you destroyed an entire city because you decided to follow one particular quest line, which I've always thought was a really good idea from them, because it meant every time you played the game, as long as you didn't play it as the same type of character, you tried to be a different type of person.
If you're a different character, you can replay through the game, you know, many times.
Yeah, and that was one aspect I loved from Oblivion that I did it not so much in Morrowind, but Oblivion I got on with a lot better, especially for the whole fact that the people talk to you.
I didn't like the transition to having all recorded vocals. I wasn't too keen on.
Myself, I liked it because I've just found myself because stopping
Morrowind,
the game.
Because Morrowind had so much more text than there was a lot more richness.
Yeah, there was a lot more there, but for someone like me who wasn't too keen on the whole lots and lots of reading, it meant that I got a hell of a lot more in-depth with the game. And again, with this one, it's got quite really in-depth. Storyline, it's great. The fact that you can keep picking up all these extra storyline quests like you could before and actually go, right, I'm not going to do this. You can actually choose which quest you want to be doing as well. And if there's any markers up of where you ought to be heading towards, you can start bringing that up. The great thing I love about it is that when you go to, like, DC part of the capital, right in the center, because it was so many buildings that have been destroyed, they've actually made it so each one is like this little pocket and it's very hard to get around. So you have to keep popping your head in and out of the subway system. So you have to go through the subway system. And when you're in the subway system, it's very dark and dank. You don't know what you're going to bump into. No. And it's like a maze of...
It's like basically the dungeons from the Elder Scrolls, they've sort of made an integral part.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of force you into the dungeons to get around.
And that's what it's great, because there isn't these dungeons and stuff. And it's got this whole... The subway's there, you've got buildings. You go to different areas. Like, I went into a kind of like a not a mall, but like a market, the American style market, which is like a proper supermarket, Tesco-y type thing that was for like food and getting your medicine and stuff like that. And you went in there and it's really dark and you see the shadows of raiders just patrolling over the top of the shelving and stuff like that. And you had to sneak in and try and grab as much as you can and get back out again. So you have these different pockets of areas that you can go to, and then you'll walk along and you'll just see from miles of just openness where stubs of trees, radiated pools of water and loads of rock, where it's just been, the landscape has been obliterated. You see motorways, just parts of them have just been falling away, where they're on the motorways on stilts as they're going across the countryside and stuff. And
the environment is really epic in it.
Yeah, and
I mean, take Oblivion, and you know, Oblivion, everyone will say, "Oh, gorgeous."
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing else like it. Crysis is better in the graphics department, but Crysis is nowhere near as open as Oblivion. And you know, nuke Tamriel, and you've got Fallout. Only put modern buildings, obviously.
Yeah.
The environment's really well done. Like, the first time you step out and you can see for miles, you know, it's another one of those Oblivion moments where it's like,
yeah,
wow.
The great thing I liked about it was when you came out for the beginning section, we're not doing any spoilers here if you have never got around to getting on to Fallout, is that because you've been living in the vault, your eyes are adjusted to that lighting condition, so when you come out into the real world, they actually blind you, so your eyes open and everything goes white, and it takes a while for everything to fade in, and because you're up a bit higher, you just get this quick view of the first set of landscape you see, and you're just kind of like, whoa. And the great thing I like about it is you're going along, and all of a sudden you'll bump into raiders, I bumped into secure bots, super mutants, and the odd mole rat and cockroach rat that have come and attacked your wild dog, and all the different elements, you can start going off, and you can scavenge, and the great thing about it is you could spend an entire time and kind of like, yeah, I'm not getting around this mission. So you just go wander, I'm going to go here. And you put a marker down, and you just try and kill as much as you can on the way there, pick up as much, you get into the point where you're becoming completely over, but I'm running out of health, I'm running out of ammo, I've picked up too much scrap. Quick, bring up the map, click on a town that you've been to before, no enemies about, and you walk back there, like you could with the other one where you could walk to each one of the towns. Now, the amount of places you can walk to in Oblivion is a lot, but compared to the amount of towns and places of interest in Fallout, I haven't played the game that long, and I've still got a massive amount all over my map. The game is expanding a hell of a lot, and you can really go out there and scavenge for rubbish. But the great thing about it is it's not like you could go grinding and go, well, if I grind all of this stuff and go back and sell it.
No, you can't grind in The Elder Scrolls, not really.
You cannot do that in this game, because people have a set amount of money. You go back to see this person, and if you keep visiting them, they'll have loads of money if you keep buying stuff from them. But if you're just selling, they'll run out of money, and you'll come back and they've got like 20 caps. So if you've not played the game, the money basically runs off caps. So if you go and find a nuke cola from a vending machine and you drink it, you keep the cap and you've got one extra money. So everyone uses caps as currency. You can pick up real money, but it's not worth anything. I think it's worth one cap for a wad of dollars or something. Well, it's not called dollars, it's called pre-war money. But yeah, you can scavenge a lot of stuff, but you'd have to go around to everybody in the town and sell a bit to everybody to get as much money as you can. You can dump loads of stuff, you can keep giving it to them, but they'll go, right, I can't give you any more money, this is my top price for all of it. And you can like bring some back and go, actually no, this is where you stopped giving me money, here, I have that, right, I'm going to buy some ammo with this money. And then you bought some ammo and you're kind of like, right, I'm going to get my money back of you, giving you some more thing, and you just keep circulating it like that. Or you go around to like the food mark, or you go to the doctor and sell him some crap. But obviously, once you've seen a lot more cities, if you're trying to get rid of a lot of stuff, you picked up a lot of weapon you don't use and stuff, you can just keep hitting walk to this place, walk to this place, and go around to all the different towns and sell off all your wares and stuff. Loads of side quests. God knows I wouldn't even want to know how many quests they are put into this game. And there are quite a few of these quests which you will not be able to do all of them, because one will counteract the other because of the way that you are and what you actually do.
Just think, dude. Originally, up until fairly recent in Fallout's development, the environment was 8 times the size of what it is now. And they cut so much out of it because people were just totally overwhelmed.
Yeah. It's amazing how much of this game...
I think it might have even been 16 times the size of the landmass.
At the moment...
And they basically just squished everything together.
The size of the map at the moment, there are kind of like these, not cheats, but these things to find. And the reason why they're hidden, they're not hidden, it's just the fact that if you follow every single quest there is, you probably will never walk to this location. Because it's such a sparse area, you just walk in a straight line, unless there's something that's going to kill you and you can't kill it, you walk around it. But you most likely wouldn't go to... Because one of them is the alien spacecraft. You actually find these dead Martians in a flying saucer, and they've got a ray gun, and it's limited ammo, and they literally vaporizes people. So it's kind of like a one-shot...
Cool. Where's that?
I'm not entirely sure. I do know
it's... Find it.
And there's also a room with this guy who's... He's one of the ghouls, and he's gone completely nuts about plungers, and he's got plungers everywhere, and he's put plungers on everything. And there's this bit where he's put plungers, and he's tried to use plungers to climb up this wall, and there's blood where he's been scrabbling with his feet as he's been climbing, and he's dead somewhere in there, but he's just gone nuts about plungers, and it's just like this quirky room, and it's just full of plungers everywhere. And then there's the ray gun with the thing. And it's just little gems like that hidden all over the place. But you're not necessarily going to find them. So you still got that ability to go and look at everything. The other great thing I love about this company when they make these types of games is the fact the expansions. They have always made the expansions out since as far back as Morrowind, as much I remember. I don't know if they did them for any of the previous games. But the great content, they've always, like, when I jumped in on Morrowind, the extra expansion packs they brought out, which I didn't actually get because I got rid of Morrowind to get the Game of the Year edition with the two extra expansion packs, they brought so much more flavour to the game. And the same with Oblivion. Now, I never had them for Oblivion, but...
Blood Moon was kick-ass.
Oh, that was one of the best expansions. The ability to have the element of being a werewolf in it. But the same with Fallout. They've given you the ability to... go in a pod and go back in time to pre-war in Alaska against China and have a battle there. So it's pre the whole Fallout incident, and it doesn't do anything to your character. Then they've added in the pits, so you go to this pit. It's basically Pittsburgh, but it's called the Pits, and it's plague there, adding a new area and other quests line. And then they've added the last one, which is to say, right, you've done everything, you've actually got to here, let's carry on the story and go against the Enclave, and you can level up. Your cap level's been increased and everything like that. So it's got it to the point of, like, actually, I'm not even going to bother buying these expansions because I've got so much content to play with now. I know that the game, once I get to the end, I'm going to have three
all
lots.
All the other alternative stuff to do.
Yeah, and it's just going to keep the game going on and on and on, and it's just going to be great. Because you don't have to do everything. You could just go, right, I've done everything I want to do. Let's move on. So, yeah, I'm very impressed with this game, and... I wouldn't be surprised that the full lot with expansions will come out in a Game of the Year edition. I can't see this not getting Game of the Year. Did it actually get Game of the Year? I'm trying to remember if it did hit the Game of the Year.
Of course somebody must have given it Game of the Year.
Yeah.
And even if they didn't give it Game of the Year, they just call it Collector's Edition or
yeah.
Super Epic Fallout Edition or Nuclear Edition. Or
I must admit, I did wish that I had not bought... because I got Far Cry 2 and I'm still playing through that from time to time, so I do like that as a sandbox first person shooter. But to be honest, I really wish that it hadn't come out at the time it did, and I did go and get Fallout 3 because I'd still be playing it to this day. I could see me, like I did with Oblivion, that with Oblivion I got to a point where I was kind of like, yeah, I can't be bothered to take the quest anymore, I'm getting a little bit bored. As soon as I hit that little bit of boredom, I went back and started another character, and I just tried to force the character into a completely different role. Now,
instead of role-playing a gay mage, role-play a gay...
thief.
Warrior.
But,
yeah, the thief quests in Oblivion were quite good.
Yeah, and I do like the fact that the element of pickpocketing people and being a thief and trying to be stealthy and stuff are still elements in this game. Not as much in the elements because of the fact that hand-to-hand combat is a smaller element because
you've got ranged weapons, which aren't crap,
and you're going to be bumping into a lot more people with ranged weapons, where in Oblivion you most likely are not going to bump into some of the ranged weapons. If you've got a bow, you've got a set amount of time to shoot a person with bow or magic before they cross that range gap, and if you don't kill them, you're going to have to pull out a sword. And it's completely turn face about for Fallout because it's more about having a gun, and then you maybe use dust knuckle dusters or baseball bat or police truncheon or a piece of wood with nails in and a lead pipe and God knows what else. But yeah, I need to get some schematics as well. You can get schematics to build your own weapons, which I thought was a very cool
element. Think I'm a weapon maker person. Basically what Adam is saying is he likes this game.
It's very good.
Take it you give it a 5?
Actually, yeah, I would give it a 5 out of 5 just for the quality of work in there. And I must admit, even the animation is pretty good. I won't knock the
animation. Better than it was.
Yeah, they have got better. Especially I still think that the computer controlled animation, they've got a hell of a lot better. The animation for the third person is always atrocious, and it's better the side doing sideways strafing is a lot better than it was in Oblivion. But you start adding in a little bit more rotation on the other thumbsticks and he starts ice skating. But I never have it in third person. I just do it to see what I look like. It's like, oh, I'm in a cowboy hat. Yeah, I look cool. Got armor. Got a gun. Right, go back to first person. But it's nice to actually see that the animation for the people is a lot better. So yeah, I did give it this 5 out of 5 because it's one of the things I like to add to elements of games for when you're reviewing it or when you're looking at it worth it buying or something is how long is it going to last? How much content is in there? And you're getting a lot of content, not including the expansion packs for what you're buying compared to some games these days. And the fact that it's a first-person sandbox game. If you like this game, you can find yourself playing it for a very long time. Even if you hit cap level, you've still got plenty to do. And then the game has been revived with all the expansions. I have heard that they have announced that they're moving into doing the next Fallout game, which...
Do another Elder Scrolls for us, please.
Yeah, I'm hoping that maybe the team...
Bethesda is a fairly large developer.
Yeah, I'd like to know that maybe there's an Elder Scrolls that was running in silent mode underneath Fallout 3.
They're developing another Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that it's running in the background while they keep kicking out these Fallouts as well. I must admit, if all they're known for is Elder Scrolls and Fallout, I think they're to a success in themselves because they're such mirror opposites of each other. Yet still using the core of what makes those games.
Yeah, them
great.
Buying Fallout was a really good decision.
Yeah,
because when most companies or stuff buy a brand, they come up with a shit game.
Yeah,
but not Bethesda.
It was kind of like when you talk about people doing remakes of movies. You don't remake a good movie; you remake a good idea, but it just wasn't made that great. And that's where you get success. If you've got a film and people are kind of like, wow, that was really good, and you still get it on DVD today, you don't go ahead and remake that film. It's just not going to work. And that's the thing with franchises of games. If the first game was really good and what you're going to do on it is completely put it to something completely different, it's great. But if you're just trying to jump on the bandwagon and throw out a few more games to stick on the back of it,
Tomb Raider.
Yeah. Now, the only thing about Tomb Raider I thought they ever did get good was the fact that the control system was actually made better. But do I own any of them? I love Tomb Raider, but I haven't got pushed that far that I need to actually go own some of these games. I do like Tomb Raider. I'm always tempted to get it, but there's always something better out at the time. But yeah, I think it was the...
Like Pokemon Diamond.
I do think that it was a very good move by Bethesda. Just the whole fact of it's just something for them to tell another story with. But yeah, 5 out of 5 for Fallout. If you haven't got it, then you're late.
Then
like
you're
I am.
Missing out on a lot.
I imagine a lot of people are going, well, I've got it, I've played it, I've traded it in.
Play it again.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a game not to trade in. It's one of those pick up and keep playing.
And even if you have a break from it a year, you can go back to it and enjoy it all over again.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. It's one of those games. I must admit, at some point, I will pick up Oblivion again. I always keep my eye out for a copy of the Game of the Year edition cheap. As soon as I see a good Game of the Year edition cheap, I nearly bought it for PlayStation 3, but it's that type of game where I don't really want to run it off my PlayStation 3. I want it on my Xbox. So if I do see Game of the Year Oblivion cheap, really cheap some point, I will go pick up another copy. Part of me wishes that I'd actually squandered on my limited edition copy of Oblivion on the Xbox and never traded it in when my Xbox died. I wish I'd actually kept it for that one day I may get an Xbox again. But, live and learn.
Anyways, I think that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
You can send us feedback at feedback@gamercast.net. You can leave it on the blog at gamercast.net. We do have a Twitter thing, but it seems to be pretty dead at the moment.
Yeah.
And I don't have the password, so I can't do anything about it. But yeah, you got the Twitter thing is at twitter.com/gamercast. I'm sure it will get updated in a week or two.
Yeah, it's a side project. It now and again. Does it actually post when we put another?
No, it's all done manually, and Catherine's been too busy to do.
Yeah, well, no, you can't blame her. She's at uni. I know what it was like trying to juggle so many things when I was at uni.
Yeah, you still managed to fit in about 40 hours of gaming every week, didn't you?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Your student life is designed around drinking lots, and I'm able to go, right, I'm just going to drink all this week, and then the next week I'm like, yeah, I'm not going out. Every time they go out and spend money, I'm like, I'm just going to sit and play video games. And I actually save quite a lot of money playing video games at uni.
All right, I take it you're free next Sunday?
Yes.
See, if you just shared your calendar with me, then I wouldn't have to ask you for me.
Yeah, I don't have a calendar. I share Sarah's calendar. You don't want to know what Sarah's doing. You don't want to know when she's...
Oh, dear. Have your own calendar, dude.
Yeah. I ought to have a section that she can put in, and all you can see is the if Adam's busy at weekend thing. Just a block, and it just says doing something.
Adam is occupied. Please go away.
But,
anyway, we'll be back next week. Yeah. I encourage you to check out our WoW edition of GamerCast.
Yeah.
It will be posted up after this is posted up. I'll probably get around to it sometime tonight, but I might not. But be in the next couple of days. And that can be found at gamercast.net/WoW edition. But it should also be listed on the main GamerCast page as well. But not in the RSS feed.
No. Yeah.
Because obviously we didn't want to spam people with the crappy GamerCast WoW episodes. When all they want to hear about is Xbox 360 or something.
Mm.
Anyway, so we'll be back next week, and hopefully we'll have a few glimpses of what's going on at E3.
Yep.
But if not, it'll be the week after.
Yep. Catch you guys later.